Close as you can to the front. And I want to speak to this moment. I am a child of God. What a truth. What a truth. I want to read to you from the book of Genesis in the 48th chapter. And we're going to look at verse number 7. Genesis 48 and verse number 7. This is the awesome chapter where Jacob, Joseph, and Ephraim and Manasseh meet up right as he is on the verge of dying. That's why Joseph comes as he hears his dad is dying. So he comes for one last contact. There's no scripture that ever says that Joseph came for a blessing. He just came to see his father. And he meets a man of faith. And this is when he crosses his hands, and that irritates Joseph because he put his hand on the wrong son according to Joseph's thinking. But I want to read verse number 7. And as for me, this is Jacob or Israel speaking, as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me. And if you have a King James Version, probably in your margin, it says, to my sorrow. So Rachel died to my sorrow in the land of Canaan, in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same is Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. And look at verse 11. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And you may be seated. I would like to really go through this chapter and discuss the faith of Jacob. I won't do it tonight, but this is what he's known for in Hebrews 11. This moment here where he, by faith, Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph. And so this is, out of everything that you could say about this great man, Jacob, this is the moment. But what I feel like God wants to say anyway is that, say for instance, Nehemiah chapter 8, the great moment when the walls of the city are built, and Ezra, the writer of the book of Ezra, is reading to all of the nation that is there, that is returned from Babylonian captivity. He's reading them the law. So they're getting the word of God read to them, and they respond by, they mourn. They weep. And the reason that they mourn and the reason that they weep is because they're hearing about what God has designed for them to be, and they are so not that. And they weep over not just the time that they've lost, the opportunities that they've lost, but how far off they are from what this word declared they were to be. And they begin to weep, and they were immediately stopped by Nehemiah. And he says, don't you dare weep. Rejoice. Don't mourn. Celebrate. He said, matter of fact, we are calling this meeting to a close, and I want you to go home, and I want you to party, and I want you to share with those that don't have anything to party with, and I want this to be a celebration. And the reason it was to be a celebration is the scripture said that they understood what they were hearing. And that's an amazing thing whenever you're hearing Hebrew spoken to you, and you were probably born in Babylon and they don't speak Hebrew, but you understand Hebrew because you never lost that part, the language of God. And the understanding part, not the how far away you are part, but the understanding part is the part to rejoice over. And the reason for that is that you cannot get faith from God's word to be what you are noticing you're not by weeping. And all you need is understanding and celebration. Understanding and rejoicing, understanding and I understood this. Therefore, I can be it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God. And so that fact that it's in you now is the seed of that promise coming to pass. Whatever it is that you're mourning over, but you won't be able to get that by mourning. You don't receive it except with joy, and from joy you get strength. But not over what you are, but over what you understand God wants you to be. And that's all that there is to it, is understanding that God, it's God's will always for better than I have for myself. And it's always going to be God who enables and empowers me through His Word to accomplish what He's calling me to do. And so I rejoice in the fact that all I've got to do is hear it. All I've got to do is receive it and understand it. And if I've got that, I've got everything I need from here on out. And so I take everything I'm not celebrating, because I will be. That's why you take it, what you're not, and you quit crying and you celebrate, because I will be. That's why you celebrate, like it's already happened for you. It's really hard to have faith living in the realm that we are born into, and that's flesh. And not just body, but the soul. The soul realm. Emotions, feelings, all of those things, they defy faith, really. What we can see, what we have seen, what we have heard, what we're hearing right now, what anything, you name it, anything in life has the power to diminish our belief in ourselves, in the moment, in the people, whatever it may be that we are being called upon at the moment to experience. And there's no guarantee ever that the Word of God is going to come to us, or that moment of faith is going to arise at the great moments in your life. Matter of fact, generally when it's the great moments of your life, you don't need much faith. Great moments don't require faith, but it's those moments where you have nothing and nobody and you need help, and that's where faith literally comes, is at those moments. Faith shows up when you need it. Faith shows up at the opportune time. And so to put our emotions into the mix is to mess faith up. And who better for Jacob to learn from than his father Isaac? By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph. They're the only two that by faith they blessed their sons. And Isaac's is really... it's really how not to do everything before it's, now here's what you take home. And it's because he starts out, if you read it in Genesis 27, he starts out in a soulish realm. He says, I want you to go kill me something that I can eat. And after I eat the deer that you've made masterfully the way I like it, spicy, my soul will bless you. Not my spirit, not my faith, my soul will bless you. And so that's it, the realm he's in when his son walks in, that is the wrong son, but actually the right son. And he's wearing goat skins, and he's got a stew made by his mother that's made out of goat. And his father, number one, senses something is off. And he's questioning. And he's doubting, and you can see he puts him through some tests, but he's sensing something's off. And that's his spirit. That's his spirit that's sensing, wait. Mm-mm. This doesn't feel like Esau. But he can't see, so that sense is gone in the physical. And he can't discern the difference between goat hair and human hair. Have you ever rubbed a goat before, like at the carnival? Can you imagine having a son that feels the exact same? He can't tell the difference between goat hair, deer hair, or human hair. And he can't tell the difference between this deer meat that he loves so much and goat meat. And there's a massive difference. Especially when it's a freshly killed goat. It's a massive difference. So his senses in the physical are failing completely. He can't see, he can't taste, he can't touch. And he's going, I can hear Jacob. And so now that sense contradicts all the other senses. And, you know, that's when you go by what you can feel in the physical, there's always going to be one thing that contradicts with the other things. They'll never all line up and say, this is right, this is wrong. Something's going to feel right and something's going to look wrong. Or something's going to sound wrong and something's going to feel right. And so now he's got left is smell, and so he pulls Jacob close and he smells him and he says, this smells like a field that God has blessed. And I'm sure that garment was indeed in a place that God had blessed. But just because God had blessed doesn't mean that this coat is blessed right now. Or how it's being used is in a way God would bless. And so the way God blessed yesterday smells right. And it's that smell that makes Isaac say, I don't know what I've been thinking. This is somebody else. This is obviously Esau. This is obviously right because I smell something I recognize. And so he goes ahead and he blesses Jacob. And his final reasoning was, you smelled right. And so he leaves. Esau comes in. Rise and eat some of my food, Dad. He's already full. He ate everything that Jacob had brought him. And he says, who are you? I'm your son Esau. And verse 33 says that he trembles. He trembles greatly. And so you talk about emotionally shook up. He trembles greatly. And I want to read this to you. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him? ? There's a loophole waiting on Isaac right here. And where by faith Isaac blesses Jacob is the next part. When he says yes, and he shall be blessed. It's when you've spoken the blessing and you've not really spoken it by faith, you've spoken it by sense, that something will come right after and try to talk you out of the fact that you are going to have what you spoke.
That's right.
I don't care if you say, I'm healed.
Yep.
Your mind will start telling you, see.
Yep.
I don't care what it is. You speak of my. Whatever it is, there's going to be a chance real soon, right after you speak it, where contradictions come that shake you emotionally, and you've got the opportunity at that point in time to no longer have your blessing be a blessing. And so it's here that he gets blessed when he is tremendously shook up. And this isn't the one I wanted to bless, and yes. And he shall be blessed. That's Dad saying, when I speak it, it will be. I don't care who I spoke it over. I blessed the wrong son, apparently. And guess what? He shall be blessed. Can you imagine when you've got the contradiction after an awesome service and you get home and something happens during the week and now you've got the opportunity to say, what's going on? Have you ever had that service stolen from you before the night was over? And you're like, well, back to normal. I knew it was too good to be true. What would happen if you would just speak into that moment? No question marks. You take the question mark out of it and say, what I said is, period. Yes, and he shall be blessed. Period. No question mark on blessing. No doubt about it, this is a done deal. I guarantee you right there, Jacob got a lesson on faith. Because his lifetime is going to be up and down, sideways, upside down, looks like it's wrong, mistake, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And of any of the patriarchs, he fellowships more suffering than any of them. He literally mourns for Joseph for 20 plus years before he hears that he is not dead. He refused to be comforted, and he said, I will go to the grave mourning. That's a long time for this moment where he meets his son again. 22 years of mourning. That's why he says here, leading up to when he is going to bless the sons of Joseph in a way that he knows Joseph is not going to like. He tells him, hey, I had not thought to see thy face. Or in other words, he said, you and me are here not because of me. It wasn't my faith that made this happen. I had nothing. I was mourning. I had no faith. I'm here standing before you, Joseph, and it was not me that put us here. And he's giving some great background for every one of us that feels like if it's not my prayer, it won't happen. When you feel like something is God's will, and you are at a point in your life where you cannot pray, or you cannot have faith, you need to see a God that is much bigger than you are. And that if you felt that assurance, you might not be responsible for this, Joseph. But God was in it from the get-go. And God's got it when you can't even think about it. When it's too tough for us to even go there. And it's so hard and we're in sackcloth for 22 years. And that's embarrassing, and there's nothing great recorded about Jacob in that span of time. But imagine understanding that I didn't do anything for us to be here. And so I don't have to try to control anything else the rest of my time. All I've got to do is learn that God wants this for our family more than I want it for my family. And that the blessing and the promise that he spoke over a people, he will perform that whether or not I can believe it. Whether or not I've got faith, he will do it. If it's in his word is his will. And so he's setting up this idea that I want to back up to in a second by saying that I didn't do anything to get here. And then he says, but God showed me your seed. Meaning what's getting ready to happen, I'm acting out what I've already seen. So I'm not here standing before you, Joseph, because I had great faith as a father. But what I'm getting ready to do next, God let me see it. And so it's not going to look right to you as a father. But you better know that God is in it. Because just like you and me are facing off, I couldn't see that. But somebody saw that. Somebody saw that, and there was a prophecy that came to pass whenever you and me came together. And so because you aren't going to be able to see what's happening next, don't make that doubt that God's in it. And the relationship that he's talking about here, he says, I want God who has shepherded me, fed me, protected me. Verse 15, fed is shepherded me all my life long. That's the realization that you get when the first time you meet God is when you're 77 years old. And you think that point is the starting point. Until you get deeper in God. And you start to see where he has been in your life. Long before you were looking for him. And the more you live this direction in Him, you look back and you're like, my goodness, that was God there. That was God there. That was God that put it in me to go after the birthright. That was God that, and 77 years of nothing with God. He says, all that time, God was with me. And when you've got that understanding that you didn't start with God when you met God or when you begin to seek out God, but that God was in your life before you had faith for Him to be in your life, then that helps you believe no matter what. That same God is with me now. Even more so that I'm seeking after Him. And so verse 7 is a bridge from Israel literally adopting Joseph's kids without asking permission from either three. Adopts them, they're mine, as Reuben and Simeon are mine. No, are you cool with that? He speaks that. And this is a bridge to what's going to happen next. This blessing that the father will not understand. And that he is going to call evil, and his emotions are going to rise up, and he's going to grab his father's hands and try to move them. And he says, and as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died to my sorrow in the land of Canaan. You remember when Rachel dies in the land of Canaan, and she's having a baby, and travail is really hard, and she dies right after she brings forth this new boy, and she's in lots of pain. And she calls the boy's name Benoni, son of sorrow, son of my sorrow. In all kinds of pain as she's passing off into the other life. Her soul is departing, the scripture says. And so she speaks in relationship to that. The soul realm that's going away. All the hurt, pain from physical to emotional is speaking out in this moment and calls this boy son of my sorrow. And dad says, no, his name's Benjamin, son of my right hand, son of power. But isn't it amazing to think that Rachel wasn't just speaking for herself? All these years later, we know that Rachel was sorrowful. We know she died because of physical trauma, and we know in her soul leaving, it was horrible, and she's very, very full of pain, sorrow. Son of my sorrow! And to hear Jacob say of that moment, so many years after, in rehearsing to Joseph, what he felt, for the first time we get to hear what he felt. He said, and Rachel died to my sorrow. So they're both feeling sorrowful. And so isn't Benoni apropos for this moment? Son of my sorrow. I would think so. So where does he come out and say, no, you're son of my right hand. You're son of power. Where do you get to that point when what you're feeling is the opposite? What you're feeling is in agreement with the other name. It's the fact that God had just for the second time, he said, your name isn't Jacob. Your name shall be Israel. Just like he had said the first time. And it didn't work. But this time the Bible says, and so God called him Israel. So he said, Israel. Hey, Israel, look at me. Instead of saying you will be called Israel, and this is what it means, he called the man Israel, which sealed the deal right there. That's a creative moment. He became it. And so whenever he is standing over full of sorrow, he remembers that that's what Jacob feels. But what's a nation feel? What's a nation supposed to feel? Israel. What's a nation supposed to feel that has power with God and prevails? A wrestler, a struggler. You're supposed to live in another realm where you see based off of what God wants and not based off of what you feel. And understand that it's no accident that Saul is the first king of Israel, the Benjamite. There's no accident at all. There's no accident that the bloodline carrier, Judah, they are promised that they're always going to have one tribe that sticks with them and keeps them alive until Jesus comes. And it's no accident that God chose Benjamin to be that tribe. And so it's always Judah and Benjamin. Power keeping the bloodline alive. Can you imagine the difference between son of sorrow and son of power? There's an authority in this kingly individual or kingdom realm individual where there's no possible way it's going to be God's will for you to name the future over what you're feeling right now. Over what you're experiencing, you know, sometimes what we experience is life. People die. Pregnancies go wrong. Natural things, we were not made to live long. There's going to be, maybe we should have left earlier, maybe we shouldn't have left at all. There'll be all kinds of human reasoning, human all kinds of things we feel. Loss. And if we allow for those things to dictate who we are, because that's who we were. Matter of fact, I'm no longer the husband of Rachel. That's dead on death. That's who I was. And so if I live according to that Jacob identity, the one who married Rachel, then this son doesn't have a future. And so I've got to learn how to speak faith when I feel the opposite. I've got to learn how to speak what God is desiring and the future that God has spoken when I feel like crying and mourning and weeping and I feel sorrow. I feel like doing anything but saying, no, that's Benjamin, son of my right hand. But that's where faith comes, my friend. Faith comes to a people that understand that God's will is for this people to be glorious and to flourish. And so it's never going to be God's will for me to name today and tomorrow based off of yesterday and the past. It's never going to be God's will for me to allow my emotions and my soul realm to dictate my faith realm. It's never going to be God's will for me to allow for what can only be tapped into by the Spirit to be dictated by the flesh. Whether you're tired or weary or sick, what doesn't matter what we feel in the physical or what we feel emotionally. None of those things have to matter. If we don't let those things matter to what God is doing, and we allow them to matter greatly to us, it would be just like that. There's no dichotomy with a Jacob and an Israel. Israel's spiritual, Jacob's the man. And so Jacob, you are going to weep, grieve, and you're going to mourn, and you're going to cry. But Israel, you need to step up and be a nation. And you start being a nation by speaking faith. So what are you seeing today or feeling today that is telling you you were smoking crack whenever you said, hey, things are turning around. Things are looking better. We're coming out of this. God's got this. No, you're healed. No, you're delivered. No, I love you. No. Whatever it was that you spoke and you declared and you believed because your spirit was connecting to the will of God and the word of God. But now, this little gap, the interim between, sometimes you feel the opposite. And you've got to learn how to have your greatest faith when you're dying. You know what's amazing to me? And I'm done. Hebrews 11, tracking the patriarchs of faith. It says that by faith, Abraham, getting ready to offer up Isaac. The scripture said the reason Isaac was there is because Isaac sprang from somebody that was as good as dead. And then bringing the one that sprang from him up to the mountain to offer him up as a sacrifice. The scripture said that by faith Abraham believed that God was able to raise him from the dead. And it says by faith Isaac, before he died, he blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. By faith, when Joseph died, he made mention of his bones. So it's as good as dead, could be raised from the dead, before he died, dying and dead. The greatest acts of faith at the least powerful moments of their flesh. Because you don't need the body. You don't need power. You don't need to feel. You don't need any of that. You need to believe God's word and declare it. And speak according to the future. And today and yesterday, no, that doesn't matter. Stand with me. That doesn't matter. But I speak in relation to what God has spoken. I declare relationship to what God has declared. And I just go ahead and fellowship. Number one, just know.
Yes, amen.
You speak it, something's going to challenge it. There's no doubt about it. You speak it, something will challenge it. Just know that you're never going to get to a place where you feel good. And when you're strong, you don't need faith. And so when God sets us up for our greatest acts, I think it starts with the killing of our flesh. And so you suffer and you go through things to get you to realize that this isn't me at all. This is me believing God and declaring this God who has been in my life the entire time and shepherded me and fed me and guided me. And so I feel sorrow, but speak power. Do not tell yourself it's going to be the same. When you feel the desire for change in your life, don't say, well, it's the same old thing. Look for a reason to celebrate. Look for a reason to glorify God. Look for a reason to lift up your voice and magnify God. Don't look for all the obvious things that you know are there. That all the no's, no. Look for the yes. Look for the one little piece of evidence that you can grab a hold of and say, see, that's all I needed right there. Look for just whatever you can grab a hold of that is on the faith side of you, the Israel side of you, and not the Jacob side of you. What happens immediately after Benjamin is named almost immediately, Reuben sleeps with his dad's wife. And the scripture said Israel heard it. Israel heard it. And so he doesn't speak into it. I don't know why, but it was a good thing Israel heard it. Because Israel's a man of faith. I think that the reason there's a 40-year gap between the deed and the confrontation in Genesis 49 is he believed his son would repent. And gave him 40 years to do so, and he didn't. Israel's somebody that believes. Israel, somebody that can hear a report and have faith. Have faith. I wonder if we could come stand up here at the front and hopefully break out of our shell a little bit, but declare we're gonna speak. You know what I love about Sandy kicking off service and saying it's so crowded in here? Is because, you know, after a while when you say that kind of stuff, you can just be like, yeah, and just, it doesn't even hit you anymore. Because you believed it at one time, but now you don't. Or you've just been tricked too many times or let down or whatever. And so whenever on a Wednesday night when you've got a crowd that's like this right here, and you had a great celebration on Sunday, the first thing that you think is, same old thing. Same old thing. First thing you'll start thinking is, this sucks. You'll start thinking via what you think you know about what God's doing. Or what you think you know about what God did for somebody between Sunday and now that's here. And we don't know about it. And there's cause for celebration. Where God comes through in a massive way in people's lives. And it's evidence. It's looking for that piece of good. Good. That's right. And so when you're allowed to see something, and everything just doesn't make any sense in your life at all, and you go ahead and you step into it, testifying pretty much to yourself while you're speaking to somebody else perhaps, just how much you know that God's got this. And so it's going to be out of the ordinary probably. So get ready for this, Joseph's what he's saying. And you know when you've not had faith. But you know now that these moments don't come back. That the gap between fruitfulness and a dead wife, according to verse number 7 in the ESV version, in the margin, is, it says, we are a little way from Ephrath, it says 2 hours. Now, I don't know where they got that measurement, 2 hours. But don't you measure God moments, not by distance, but by time? Yeah. That you don't got time when God speaks it to not do something. You start learning to seize those moments. And yet live your life just with the default that God is in this place, and I knew it not. God's in this place, and I don't know it. God is in this place, and I don't know it. And so when you begin to declare stuff by faith, it happens. And the reason it happens is because God is the one that designed it to happen. And God designed His people to live in victory. And God designed for His people to understand that, guess where winning comes from? And I'm done. Winning comes from losing. Winning comes from losing. You think God couldn't whip Jacob? Wrestled all night long, and He's like, let me go. No, I won't let you go until you bless me. Opens up the opportunity to change a man's life by losing. That's where winning comes from. Weakness, losing. And so faith doesn't need me to feel it at all. And if we could all learn that, our life would change forever. Because we would believe in the power of one simple declaration. One final thing, Brian. When he does finally, and I'm going to talk about this more on faith. When he does touch the boys, crosses his hands, and he lays hands on them. That's the first time that they do that in Scripture. And then the priests do it in Scripture. And I was just reading today that the priests... word for laying on of hands is different than Jacob's word that is used for him in this passage. And the only difference is that Jacob's means you barely touch. And the priests mean you grab with more power. And isn't it amazing that the priests are doing it as mediators, and as blood is being shed on their behalf. And Israel's doing it by faith. And he doesn't feel like, I got to just shake you.
Yeah.
I just barely touch you. Amen. And impartation takes place by faith. Amen. Not by the way I do it with authority. What if we just had that kind of faith? I desire and I pray for that kind of faith. And I wonder if we could just take today, tonight, the song that Sandy sang and this crowd that we've got here today, as just God's will for us to have this kind of faith. And why don't we lift up our hands, and why don't we just thank God.